Portions of the following program were pre-recorded.
The home of the LA Rams in the NFC title game.
To the end zone.
KLAC Los Angeles. KYSR HD2 Los Angeles. An iHeart radio station.
AM 570.
An LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, let's go. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. Now, we've got to talk about where we're going to be Super Bowl week, Rodney. We'll be out and about. We want to see everybody come down and see us.
Where are we going to be, Fred?
All right. Monday the 7th, Hollywood Park. TJ Houshmandzadeh and LeVar Arrington will be there. Eric Dickerson will join us for a segment as well. So that is Monday, February 7th. We will have things to give away. We'll know more about that at Hollywood Park.
Yeah, we always love to go to Hollywood Park Casino and hang out there, Fred. They're good people over there. It's a great place. What they've done to that facility is amazing. We love it. Come on down and join us.
Yeah, and we have a great stage there.
Yes.
It's a great area. You know, it changed, to be fair. You know, we did it for a couple of years. The first year we were there, I would always say, you better get there early. It's very important that you get there early. And when we walk in, I thought, oh, my God, people really listened. I mean, the place was jam-packed that first year, remember?
Yes, it was packed.
It was packed till about 11:45.
Right.
When the bus came and everybody got on and left because there were like gambling tours that came in. So there were a few people there that first year. But every time we'd walk in, it'd be like, oh God.
Jam-packed, yeah.
What are all these people doing here? They were just sitting waiting for the bus.
Right.
Then the bus come... and they were gone. All right. The next year was a different story because we really were packed. We had people lined up outside waiting to get in.
Yes. They got promoted a little bit, Fred.
Was that the key?
Yeah, I think so.
That first year. So.
Yeah, they promoted us a little bit over there the second year.
Yeah, well, the first year it was interesting because every time we'd walk in, I'd see the same people sitting there.
Right.
I thought, my God, they listen to the show every day. This is great. These people must love us.
Yeah, a few of them were sleeping on the couches.
Well, we had that. We did have that. We had a couple of sleeping people that first year.
Sleeping folks. I think there was
a loyal guy
that was blind was there.
Yeah, that guy was there.
Yes.
And yeah. I made a mistake that day, and I felt horribly. I felt so badly. I did. Because I said to Rodney, this guy's sitting over here. And he's asleep. He's just sitting here. He's kind of moving his head, but he's asleep. So I said to somebody else, who is that guy? You know, that's what I asked.
Who is this guy?
Yeah. And it was the guy that can't see that listens to the show.
Were we able to verify whether this was the same blind guy that won a TV from PMS?
Yeah, I think it was.
Is it the same guy?
Okay. Yeah, I think the guy won the TV. So... that was year one. Year two was very different.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
yes,
year two was very different. So on Monday, February 7th, noon to 3, we'll be down there. It's going to be a great show. We invite you to be down. We'll have prizes to give away. Then, if that's not enough, and why should it be? It's very unusual for us to get out of the studio twice in 1 week.
Right.
It's unusual for us to get out of the studio twice in 1 year. Or at all. Yeah. But we're going back. On Thursday, we will be broadcasting from the 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica. Now, the last time we were there, we had a good crowd, Rodney.
Yes. Oh, Santa Monica was beautiful. It was great. It was lively. People were there hanging out, partying. It was fantastic. Can't wait to go back.
Yeah, and it's Santa Monica. And it was great because a lot of our listeners that always tweet the show came down. Bill Kittle came down. Julie Mack was there. We've never met Nature Boy, and so many people tweet the show. So we would love you to come down either the Monday at Hollywood Park, the Thursday at the 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica. And Super Week coverage is brought to you by Hollywood Park Casino. Elevate your game. Must be 21 years of age or older to enter. Okay, you mentioned in the tease, Well, the countdown is on, a practice today, and then we get to the game. You have played in games like this before. So what is the routine for a player, Rodney, starting with today?
Yeah, today is very light, very light. And at this point of the season, teams are not, you know, they're not in pads anyway. But Fridays, usually you are, it's more of a mental day. So you're putting in the last-minute adjustments that you may have gone through in practice during the week and, you know, figured out, oh, do we like it, do we not like it? And certain plays are thrown out, certain are left in, some certain ones are added. So it's basically like an hour walkthrough that you have from a physical standpoint. Last-minute meetings and treatments and things. And then it's more of a relaxed day. You know, I know when I was playing a lot of guys, that it was Friday was dinner night, you know, whether it would be with your either Thursday or Friday night were dinner nights with your teammates. You know, I would always go with offensive line on a Friday night and have an early dinner. And then it's play the waiting game, Fred. You feel good because now only thing that's left is playing the game. You know, you've got the hard weekly grind work done, and now it's anticipation for Sunday. And these 48 hours now for the Rams and for the 49ers are the longest 48 hours ever because you can't wait till Sunday. And you'll wake up tomorrow. They'll have a walkthrough tomorrow. You know, and it's really basically nothing. It's just to get everybody together. And then Saturday night, you know, and some guys can sleep before games, some guys can't. But it's a long 48 hours, but you feel good because you feel like now, you really feel like now the game is approaching and you feeling like, okay, here it comes. Because you've gotten Friday over with and now it's just mentally preparing yourself, getting in the right frame of mind of getting ready to play. I will say Friday, as most people will tell you, trainers, doctors, therapists, whomever, that tonight is the most important night of sleep. Usually you're playing on 48 hours of your rest. So if you, that's why you always see or heard of guys going out the night before the game and then playing the next day and being okay and having great games the next day. Well, usually your body clock will be the result of what you did 48 hours prior to that. So Friday night is really the night that you got to get rested and get a good night's sleep because that's going to affect you on Sunday. You know, really the Saturday night before the game really doesn't affect your body too much on Sunday in terms of being alert and physical and being able to perform. It's really the two nights before. So this is the most important night to get a good night's sleep and get rested. And it's hard. And then tomorrow is the easy day, but the Saturday before the game is the hardest day because you're sitting around and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And, you know, it's, you know, a lot of guys did different things to kind of sleep through Saturday night. Things and it was always good with your standing hotel that the trainers and doctors were around to give you something nice to go to sleep. Some guys did other regimens to go to sleep. Some guys, you know, I need a shot of Jack Daniels to help me go to sleep and right before I go to bed, or you know, whatever it takes. But because it's hard to go to sleep because you can't turn your mind off because it's such a big game. That's a really hard part. But it'll be the longest 48 hours that these guys have had in a long time, just anticipation for the game.
Is there a meeting on Saturday night where everybody comes together? Yeah. I remember the great Ray Rhodes story.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, usually most teams will stay, you know, at a hotel. I think the Rams still, I don't know, they may have changed, but I know a few years back they stayed downtown L.A. Before the game. But that's when they were playing at the Coliseum, and my brother was there. So I know they stayed downtown. I don't know where they stay now. But, yeah, so usually there will be a meeting in the early evening. Usually around 7 or so that they'll have a meeting for about an hour. And that's when, you know, either somebody will tell a couple stories about their experience in the playoffs, or coach will bring in a speaker, or, you know, the head coach will, you know, just have a quick, story to tell or whatever. But it's usually pretty laxed. And then there was a big, you know, big meal spread buffet that you'll have. And then you go and you try to go back to your room and try to get some sleep. A lot of guys watch movies or whatever. Some guys will study, you know, last minute film. But everybody comes together Saturday night before the game, and then guys will get up in the morning and go to the stadium. Some guys like to arrive really, really early and just be there from like 7 o'clock a.m. on, even though the game's at 3:40, they'll get there really, really early. And then some guys like to show up, you know, right at the last minute so they can just get to the stadium, get dressed and go, you know? So it's, that Saturday night is the camaraderie. We used to play cards on Saturday nights when I was, most of my years, there would be a group of us that would play cards on Saturday night until curfew, just to kind of take our minds off of, you know, overthinking the game.
And what was curfew?
Usually 11 o'clock. Yeah.
Can you just please, as best you can, because you can't really tell the story, but can you relive the Ray Rhodes speech as best you can and just talk about the game that was preceding it?
Yeah. So we're playing Dallas, big late in the year, big game, division, NFC East. I'm in Philadelphia at the time, and we're playing Dallas. They had beaten us earlier in the year. We had, since that game we lost to Dallas, I don't think we lost after that. We had played five or six games prior to the next time we played them, and we're leading up to that game, and it was a big game. I mean, we were neck and neck in the division, and Ray Rhodes was a character. He was a former player, defensive coach, coached for a long time with the 49ers and the Green Bay Packers, finally got a shot in Philadelphia, but just a player's guy. Everybody loved him. He could relate to players. He kept it real with everybody. He would tell you how he felt, what he thought. I just loved him. But he was legendary for his Saturday night speeches of how he would, you know, kind of, and it was more of a, he would just tell stories, right? Tell stories either of his days or, you know, a story of a player that he played with or something like that. And usually it was, the story was preceded, or the meeting was preceded by Ray having a few pops of cognac. So Ray was known to have a few pops of his cognac before those Saturday night meetings, and this particular night, I believe he had more than one, Fred.
Right.
And it was one of those meetings where, you know, usually, like I said, he'll have you usually have your team meeting, and then offense will split up with the defense will split up, and you'll go, okay, anybody got any questions about what we're doing, these first quarter, first plays, what we're doing, how we're going to attack this? Okay, no question. Everybody break, go to your rooms, good night. This particular thing, Ray said, all right, no meetings. I'm just going to talk to y'all for 5 minutes. And that 5 minutes went for 30 minutes, right? So we're ready to go. We don't need any adjustments. We just got to go play the game. And I'm going to tell you this. You can't allow. They coming into our place, Fred. They coming into our place. You can't let up, blank, blank, come into your house and blank on your couch and your carpet and then wipe with your curtains. And you sit there and do nothing about it. He coming into our blah, 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 house, and he going to try to rape your wife.
Yikes.
Beat your kids. And at some point, what are we going to do tomorrow? I mean, it was a lot more colorful than that. But that was the essence of the speech was, you do not let anybody come into your backyard and disrespect you at all. And if they do, it's going to be a war out there. I mean, guys were ready to play that night. Nobody wanted to go to sleep. Everybody wanted to go play that night. And guys that didn't normally get to the stadium early were there early that next day. And we ended up beating Dallas that day, but it was an all-timer. If you talk to anybody that was on that 1995 Philadelphia Eagles team, they all remember that story vividly.
Do you think
it was all-timer?
Do you think Ray Rhodes is available to speak to the Rams?
That's a good question. Although I don't know if he would speak to the Rams because he was a longtime 49er coach.
Oh, so well, good point.
Yeah. So I don't know if that would work.
Good point. All right, Vinny Bonsignore will join us here a little bit later on this hour, and we'll get more into the specifics of the game. Later on this hour, we are going to play Know Your Squad, and whoever competes will have a chance to be entered into the Tournament of Champions. So,
oh, yes.
We'll give you the cue to call. We're working on the Tournament of Champions, and we will give you an opportunity to call. Now, as for the Lakers, all right, so you knew they were going to lose last night, right?
Did you?
Yeah, of course.
Oh. Yeah, of course. Philadelphia's playing well, too.
Yeah, they didn't even need to play. It would have been better if they had just gone out, had a drink, a nice dinner, and left Philadelphia. They didn't need to play. They were going to get beat. And we knew that. And because of my theory. So what must the Lakers do every time out? What is their objective? A, stay healthy. That's number one. That's the number one goal, stay healthy. LeBron didn't play. He's got a bad knee.
Well, that number one is out there.
Right. And Anthony Davis played well but hurt his wrist, but then went back in the game.
Thank God he came back in the game. Boy, what did you feel like real quick when he went out with that wrist and had to go back to the locker room? You're like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? He's back for two games.
You know what I did? And this is horrible to say. I just started laughing. Not that I wanted him to be hurt.
No, like this is not believable. Right.
It's like, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Right. Okay. Yeah. So they did not. They did not achieve objective number one. They did not stay healthy. Okay, so that's bad. Number two, at least compete. Okay, well, that didn't really happen. So they did not accomplish objective number two. They did not compete. They couldn't shoot. Philadelphia was deadly from three. Lakers don't guard the three. Combine that with they're not shooting well. All right, so that was bad. The objectives were not met. They lost. Simple. That's the theory. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Don't expect too much because that's what you got. And that's how it played out. Sure, the glass is half full, I guess. If you go, well, AD looked pretty good after he returned from his injury. And by the way, he is questionable for the game tonight, as is LeBron. So if neither one of them play, they did not accomplish the number one objective, stay healthy. So they will lose tonight, too. If neither one of them play. And they did not compete. That's what the Lakers season has now been reduced to. That's it?
What? There were a couple stretches, Fred. They I think they cut it to, they were down 20-something, and then they cut it to 10, I believe, at one point. Fred, there was a little compete late in the game. They tried to come back.
I would say Anthony Davis outplayed Joel Embiid. Anthony Davis in just his second game back, what do you have, 31-13 or something like that?
Yeah.
And what did that do for him?
Well, I mean, second game back, Fred, you got to be excited about that he's.
I am excited
came back
about
and
it.
Came to play.
It doesn't sound like it when you say, what does that do for him?
Well, what did that do for the Lakers last night? I am excited. I'm very excited about that, honestly.
Fred, but it's not encouraging that he's back, and not only is he back, but he came back and scored 31 points and 12 rebounds, Fred.
He's back two games, and LeBron's got a bad knee.
Yeah, but the point is, if you're taking anything positive away from it, that Anthony Davis came back against a good Philadelphia team and went for 31-12.
Against a guy who's playing at an MVP level in Joel Embiid. Right. You have to take – there's positives within this somewhere, Fred. They're not going to go from being terrible to being phenomenal overnight.
Exactly, Fred. Half empty, Fred.
Right.
Now, I'm not half empty.
You're not?
Yeah, you are.
You're not?
Yeah,
no,
you are.
I'm not. How am I half empty?
Are.
I think I'm realistic.
Because you're acting as if there is literally zero positive that came out of last night whatsoever.
Well, in my book – they did not accomplish their objectives. Stay healthy and compete.
Well, that's your book.
When
is
you
that everybody else's book?
When you make this point, well, my God, they were down 26.
Well, you knew
LeBron
wasn't going
to
play, so take that out of the equation. He wasn't going to play. He didn't play.
All right, so they did not accomplish
their objectives. Take the factors into account is what Rodney's trying to say.
I am.
You're not. Could you say, okay, Anthony Davis played fine. All right, what does that do for you?
But they lost.
He got hurt. Oh, he hurt. You threw LeBron into the hurt factor. Well,
you can argue they could have lost if LeBron was healthy. Like, this was supposed to be some layup winnable game regardless.
Yeah, but that's not the objective. The goal now is to stay healthy and compete. If they lose but lose by three and they're in it all the way, right now for the Lakers, that's a win. But if you are not healthy and you do not compete, and you lose, that's a loss.
Are you saying Anthony Davis didn't compete?
I thought Anthony Davis played well, but I'm looking at the team. Ooh, it's not Anthony Davis playing against everybody.
But you threw that aside as
in the standings, it does not go Warriors, Suns, Anthony Davis, Mavericks.
No, we're talking about the individual game, Fred.
He played well, Rodney.
Now you're spinning the argument.
Right. No, I'm not spinning the argument. I think the argument is very valid.
It's not.
Why?
It's not that linear the way you're trying to make it out to be. If they're trying to make some progress here, which is what they're the position they are in currently, we can all acknowledge not where they were expecting. So now they're on an upward climb. There's going to be some setbacks within that climb, but there's going to be some positives as well.
Anthony Davis, who's been out since December 17th, you know, if he comes back and he's you know, takes him five games to kind of get back into form or to do what he did last night, you'd be like, oh, yeah, it's going to take him a while. But the fact that he did that in the second game back against a team that is one of the top three teams in the East, you got to be encouraged by him coming back that fast after being out that long and playing that well. That's a positive, Fred. Even though the loss is the big one, but the positive is that Anthony Davis did play well in his return.
And that's where we're at. Right, and that's my point. That's exactly where we're at. Hey, AD played well, and they lost.
No.
Right. I mean, that's what it's been reduced to now, Rodney. I'd rather have everybody play, and they lose by three, and you go, okay, that's a win. Nobody got hurt.
A win is a win, and a loss is a loss.
No, well, not for the Lakers right now.
Doesn't matter how it comes. I think for the Lakers right now, honestly, it does. You get a win however you can get it. Absolutely.
Exactly.
But there's context within wins and losses that can't get lost in the argument. And the context within this loss is, A, LeBron James, who's been one of the best players in the league all season long, and especially the last month, didn't play. And B, their 20-point-a-game scorer, who has been out for the last month, came back and played phenomenal against an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
Take that and smoke it, Fred!
Well, when it's all said and done, Kevin, thank you, as always, for agreeing with me. Appreciate that.
As delusional as ever, Fred.
Yeah. All right, Vinny Bonsignore will join us next. Let's really get into the matchup this weekend at SoFi, and we'll talk about the AFC game as well. Some people pick it the Bengals, and some people are saying it's not a stretch to pick the Bengals. And then coming up later on in the hour, someone will be entered, if you get one right, into the Tournament of Champions.
Now's your chance to win $1,000.
Unbelievable.
Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website, bank. That's bank. Enter at am570lasports.com. Thanks for joining us on your ride.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Speaking of which, traffic. If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Get after it. You know why? Because it's Friday.
We don't care.
No, we don't.
Not on Friday.
No, we don't. Rodney P. Fred Rogan. On a Friday. We don't care.
Mm-mm.
We don't.
We don't.
Let's go.
One man we do care about is our NFL insider and our friend Vinny Bonsignore. And Vinny, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, guys. It doesn't seem like the Raiders care that Josh McDaniels didn't do a very good job with the Denver Broncos, or that he left the Indianapolis Colts at the altar, by the way. It looks like that might be headed in that direction, a marriage between the Raiders and Josh McDaniels. We're all waiting.
Yeah, why would they do that, Vinny?
Well, I think in doing – first of all, they just interviewed Dave Ziegler, who's the New England Patriots' highly respected player personnel director, who was supposed to get the Denver Broncos general manager job last year. Before Bill Belichick gave him a little bit more power to stay in New England. But I think they've had Josh on their radar for quite some time. They need help offensively, trying to figure out ways to score more touchdowns in the red zone, convert more third downs. And that's what Josh McDaniels and the Patriots have done consistently year after year after year, even with a rookie quarterback, in Mac Jones. I think, you know, talking to some Raider people, they bring up, remember a guy by the name of Mike Shanahan flamed out with the Raiders back in the day, almost exactly the way Josh McDaniels did with the Denver Broncos. He was 36 years old. Josh McDaniels was 33 years old when he got his first head coaching job. Probably a little bit too much to bite off at that point, especially because the Denver Broncos gave him final say on everything. It just didn't work. But, you know, 6 years later, Mike Shanahan grew up and evolved and matured, and the rest is history with the Denver Broncos. Maybe that's what the Raiders are trying to capture here, that a grown-up, matured, learned from his mistakes, Josh.
Josh McDaniels. Did we lose him, Kev?
I'm here.
Okay, oh, yeah, we lost you for a second, Benny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think they like the offensive acumen. They like what he's done with various different quarterbacks. You got to understand, Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo, Tom Brady, Mac Jones this year. He rewrote the whole offensive playbook for Cam Newton in 2020. Didn't quite work out. I thought Cam Newton was a little bit banged up at the time. But, you know, they need some help offensively, to get them over the hump. And they feel like Josh McDaniels could be that guy.
Yeah, and you think about where you are, you got stability. I at least I really believe at quarterback, and Derek Carr, and you need a pure offensive mind guy to come in and help, you know, continue his progress. I think it's smart to go offensive, and I wouldn't, you know, you can't deny what he has done for the many quarterbacks. I mean, obviously Brady was the bulk of that, but what he has done, you know, with Mac Jones, what he even did with Cam Newton, what he did with Garoppolo. I don't even know if he was there with Matt Castle when he took over Jacoby Brissett. All those guys, and the offense just keeps on clicking. And I don't hold it against him that it didn't work in Denver. I mean, there's a lot of head coaches now that have been very successful that didn't work in certain places. So you can't hold that against him. But my thing would be, you know, the way he bailed on the Colts. You know, and that situation, how that went down was kind of ugly. But that's, we're years removed from that. So, you know, when you think about offensive minds out there, I certainly think that he can get the job done. I think you're right. I think he has learned from some of his mistakes, and sometimes coordinators can kind of get too much into their own hype and ego. And I think that was a little bit of a case for him when he went to Denver, because, you know, the success that you have in New England will do that to you, thinking that you can take that and do the same thing somewhere else, which is why I believe that a lot of the Belichick assistants haven't worked over the years, because they believe they can do the same thing that Belichick did and take it somewhere else, and it doesn't always translate that way.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why, you know, when the Raiders are, you know, they're picking a general manager and a coach, and it looks like they're really intent on bringing in a tandem and with people that have worked together before. That wasn't the case with Mike Mayock and John Gruden. They had never worked a day in their lives together before that all, unfolded. And sometimes you wonder if some of the decisions that were made, especially in the draft, kind of affected that a little bit, especially early on in their relationship. If it's Josh McDaniels, it'll probably be Dave Ziegler coming with him from New England, and they've got a long, they went to college together. So you would figure that, you know, it's two guys that respect each other, have worked with each other, have a chemistry and a synergy. So that should create some seamlessness when they assume their positions of power here in Las Vegas, if it goes down that way. There's some other people that are still obviously in the mix, but McDaniels is coming into town, supposed to have dinner tonight with the powers that be, and then officially interview tomorrow. So we'll see where it all leads this weekend.
All right, Vinny, so let's get to the Rams and the 49ers. Andrew Whitworth did practice yesterday, so it looks like he'll be ready to go, which is good news for the Rams and their offensive line. To me, this game comes down to two things. Physicality, and do the Rams turn the ball over? If the Rams don't turn the ball over and they are as physical as the 49ers, the Rams win the game. Do you see that happening?
Yeah, I agree. And you know, oftentimes these games usually comes down to who has the better quarterback or whose quarterback plays better on that particular day. Between Jimmy Garoppolo just not being as good of a quarterback as Bradford, and the fact that Garoppolo is a little bit banged up right now, who do you feel has the better chance on Sunday to have the better day? I'd have to go with Matthew Stafford. It's why the Rams went out and did what they did to go get him for these types of games, to elevate them you know, to another level. And I think he's shown that he's capable of doing that in these first two playoff games and should be up for the moment on Sunday. But he also has shown a tendency this year to turn the ball over. And if they do that and give the San Francisco 49ers life, and then all of a sudden the 49ers can play their type of a game, if turnovers lead to them getting a lead, then it's going to be a tough day for the Rams.
Yeah, but the difference is that Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have to play great in order for San Francisco to win. Where I believe that in order for the Rams to win, Matthew Stafford has to play well. He really does. I think that the 49ers are going to take away the run. They're going to make Matthew Stafford make plays. In that respect, I think there's a tremendous amount more pressure on Matthew Stafford to play well than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I completely agree. They've shown that the 49ers, they've got a formula even when the quarterback's not playing so well, whereas I don't know if the Rams have that formula. Of course, they've got a great defense, and if their defense just pitches a shutout, you know, then
yeah,
at the top of his game. But the Niners have done that. The Rams haven't really shown an ability to do that. And in a game like this, they need their guy to play big. And I just have this feeling that he's going to. But, you know, we'll see on Sunday.
What about the coaching matchup here? I mean, it's been chronicled. We know Sean McVay has not defeated Kyle Shanahan. And the one thing we noticed in the last game they played at halftime, Shanahan and his coaches made a lot of adjustments, and they all worked. What about this? Why this time will Sean McVay be able to figure out how to beat him?
I think number one, I think they should be in a better position to run the ball a little bit better now that they've got Cam Akers. I think they learned their lesson in terms of the physicality that's required against a team like this. And I just think that if the quarterback plays better, it changes everything. Matthew Stafford did have some hiccups in the games against the San Francisco 49ers, as did Jared Goff in the past. It usually kind of came down to that. You know, when the quarterback's not playing well, especially against the 49ers in this matchup, it just favors the 49ers against the Rams. So I think that the way that McVay figures this whole thing out is really getting his quarterback to play just a clean, efficient game. And I think if that happens, they should be in good position to win this game.
Yeah, I think so too. And again, can't get caught up into, you know, the 49er crowd, because I think the 49ers are going to feed off that. I think it's going to be 50-50. I mean, the reports, it's going to be 60% 49er fans in there in red. Who knows? But it definitely, the 49er fans will definitely have a presence in that stadium. I just think, Vinny, on this one, and I want to move to the AFC after this, but if the game is close and stays close through the fourth quarter, I think it bodes well for the 49ers and not the Rams. I think the Rams got to get out like they did before and be comfortable going into the fourth quarter and make it a Jimmy Garoppolo game. Because if this game is close, then all those things, the psyche starts to play back into it. The crowd gets louder for the 49er fans, and the Rams start thinking, oh, here we go again. They got our number again. So the Rams need to not have this game close going into the fourth quarter. It's just my belief. Now let's go to the AFC side. You know, everybody's kind of, and I said this a few weeks ago, everybody was talking about Buffalo and Tennessee and different teams, and they kind of, you know, because they had an up-and-down season and Mahomes wasn't great all year long, that they became kind of the forgotten team. But as we saw, if any team can flip a switch, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. And do you give Cincinnati any chance going into Kansas City and beating them?
Man, the Chiefs kind of remind me of that old, you know, the Hulk. Remember that old show, the Hulk?
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden he'd get mad, and the next thing you know, he's just stomping all a regular guy just turns into this dude that could just stomp on everybody. That's what it feels like with the Kansas City Chiefs. All of a sudden, boom, the Hulk side of them comes out, and they're just crushing people. And we saw that against a really good Buffalo Bills team. Do they have any chance? I really like Joe Burrow and Rodney. I love the weapons that he has around him. They have more weapons to me than the Buffalo Bills, especially when you throw Joe Mixon into the mix. And their defense is pretty good, too. The Chiefs' defense is susceptible. We saw that. I mean, they almost lost that game for the Chiefs on Sunday, and it was miraculous play by Mahomes and that offense that saved the day. I think that the Bengals are going to be able to keep some pressure on them offensively with all of those weapons, and they're going to go in with no pressure. There's zero pressure on Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Everyone thinks that they're going to lose this game, but I think they have enough firepower offensively to make it a game. And if they could just get a, what do we always talk about? Just get a couple of stops. That's all Buffalo needed to do. And they had so many opportunities to do that. Just one stop, one play down the stretch. And they're hosting the AFC Championship game right now. Can the Bengals defense get just a couple of stops, key stops, in order for that offense, which is can be prolific, to keep them in this game and maybe win the game for them? I'm not ruling out the Bengals. I think the Chiefs are going to win, but I also like where the Bengals are right now, too.
All right. Benny, thanks for jumping on. As always, it'll be an exciting weekend, and we will chat next week.
All right. Enjoy it, you guys. We'll see you.
Okay. Our good buddy, Benny Bonsignor. Yeah, I like the Rams to win and the Chiefs to win on Sunday, Rodney.
You do?
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I like the Rams, and I agree with you. I like the Chiefs. I think it's I think the Bengals, as great a season as they had, it comes to an end. I think they will be good for a while as long as they can keep that team and nucleus and build on it. They'll be good for a while. I love Joe Burrow, and he's one of those guys I think that has shown already that you don't always want to count him out. He's done it in college. He's done it now. He's becoming that guy that don't bet against.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So that's that. And we'll see what happens. Next hour, Rob Parker will join the show. We'll get his take on all of it. Yeah. Now we have to, Rodney. We have to bring Rob on for next hour. But now it's time for someone to earn a spot in the Tournament of Champions. 866-987-2570. So you enter today and compete with Rodney and Ronnie. If you get one right, because we're on one this week. Next week it gets harder. If you get one right, you will be entered in the Tournament of Champions. And it's going to be a spectacular event. Kevin is working on it as we speak. 866-987-2570. You're next for a chance at the Tournament of Champions.
Rob. Thank you very much. Yes.
Speaking of which, traffic.
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah.
Afternoon Delight.
Hold up. Bad as hell and she thick. Hold up, pop that like a clip. Bop. She in school but she strip. Use two hands when she eat the. Oh, I'm trying to hit her.
Whoa.
Click. Head down.
Yeah. When she pop. Kevin, what you doing on a Friday?
Get a little ratchet every now and then.
Yeah,
it's all right,
yeah,
Rodney.
A little bit. I like it. It's my man too.
Pop it. If you a bad.
Today's afternoon delight is pop music by 2 Chainz. Make that. Buy you something and say you bought that. This track dropped last weekend and set to appear on the Georgia Native's upcoming album entitled Dope Don't Sell Itself, Fred. It don't sell itself. The track features Moneybag Yo and Beat King.
Oh my
and
God.
It's a follow up to his 2020 project.
Moneybag Yo's it? All right.
Yes. So help me God.
Moneybag Yo.
In a statement about the upcoming album, he said, "It's been a minute, I know, but I'm back with something new and exotic."
I said Moneybag Yo.
You said money back.
No, money back.
You said money back, yo. I heard you, Fred.
Moneybag Yo.
He meant money's back, yo.
Yes.
I love yo.
You love yo. Yeah, okay.
Yo,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, you do. Right. Again, today's afternoon delight is pop music by 2 Chainz featuring Fred. Featuring who?
Moneybag Yo.
There it is. There you go. There you go.
Rogan and Rodney Roulette. Know your squad.
And don't miss the NFL Championship games this Sunday. The AFC game features the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals. Coverage begins at 11 a.m. on AM 1150. At 3:30, it's on. Catch the action of the NFC Championship game between the San Francisco 49ers and your LA Rams right here on AM 570 LA Sports. It's brought to you by Infinity. Luxury should be lived in. Visit your Southern California retailer today. All right, we had someone ready to go.
What happened?
We had James in Anaheim.
What?
He hung up.
Damn, James?
His chance for the Tournament of Champions
James!
Has come to an end.
What happened, James?
866-987-2570. We're doing this to get somebody into the Tournament of Champions.
Damn it, James.
So, Go ahead. Call right now. And the first caller is going to have that chance. James sat there for about 4 minutes. And then at the moment of no return, he was gone. All right, Kevin's got, now the lines are ringing. Kevin will pick this caller up. Boy, they are all ringing now.
I bet they is.
All right. Tom and Lakewood, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, so here's the deal, Tom. Look, you got in because James fell off. You get one right, you're in the Tournament of Champions, okay?
Along with my son.
You're with your son.
Zach from Long Beach.
Zach from Long Beach is your son?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Tom, congratulations on surviving that.
Yeah, he's a challenge, all right.
Okay, well, look, he's not in the Tournament of Champions yet. But you have a chance to be. So good luck to you.
Oh, I thought he beat Rodney.
No, but not since we started the Tournament of Champions. Right, Kevin?
I thought he was an automatic entry.
Oh, he's an automatic entry? Oh.
He was one of the names you rattled off when you first started this whole thing, and so I added Zach's name to the list.
Okay.
So, Zach, Fred, you don't even know what you're doing.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, so Zach is in.
What a revelation, Rodney.
Oh, that wasn't necessary. And so in a first-round matchup, we could have father and son if Tom gets in.
We could.
Okay.
And whip his butt, too.
So listen. Oh, good. Whip his butt good. We'd like to whip his butt. Anyway, it's know your squad. The squad is the Bruins. Do not answer until I've given all five choices. If you answer too soon, you're locked out, okay?
Got it.
Ronnie, you ready?
Happy Friday, Rodney Pete and Moneybag Fred Rogan. Let's play.
Ah, let's go. Who holds the school record for most points scored in a single game with 44? Lou Alcindor, Bill Walton, Gail Goodrich, Kevin Love, or Brother Love?
Lou Alcindor.
How about Bill
Walton? Gail Goodrich.
Bill Walton. Tom got it.
What?
Tom got in a little before you, Rodney.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Rodney.
That's all right. It's all good.
Don't apologize for winning, Tom. Come on, brother.
Yeah. It's all good.
So Tom now has earned a spot in the Tournament of Champions. Let's continue.
All right.
Who was UCLA's last football player to be selected as a consensus All-American? Colton Miller, Anthony Barr, Miles Jack, Kenny Clark, or Kenny G?
Miles Jack.
Barr.
No, oh,
Rodney. Anthony Barr. Rodney got it. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
That's close.
Yeah, you were. You were. That doesn't count. Yeah, that's right. You were close. Good for you. You don't get the point. All right.
Pat myself on the back.
Okay. You know, it's amazing you're Zach's father. I wouldn't have thought that.
Why's that?
You got the same sense of humor.
They sound just like each other, Fred. Have you noticed that?
Mine's better. My sense of humor is way better.
Ah, I like that. I like that.
You hear me, son?
All right. Who is UCLA's leading scorer this season with an average of 18.1 per game? Jaime Jaquez, Johnny Juzang, Jules Bernard, Tiger Campbell, or the Tiger King?
Johnny Juzang.
Juzang.
That is Ronnie. Johnny Juzang. Wow, we know our Bruins. Say that. Okay. Head down the home stretch. Everybody's tied. Which of these basketball players holds the school record for most games played with 147? Darren Collison, Josh Shipp, Michael Roll, Norman Powell, or Colin Powell?
Darren Josh Collison. Shipp.
How about new?
Norman Powell.
No, senor!
Josh Shipp.
And it is no good.
Don't even know who else.
Remember the other. Darren Collison.
No, he's
How
not.
How about new? No.
Michael Roll.
There Kevin it Love. Is. Michael Roll. Tom has the lead.
Oh, Tom, you're going to legitimately get into Tournament of Champions.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, here's the next
one. I'm cutting in for a second.
Yeah.
Guess who just tweeted me?
Who?
Zach. Dude, dude, holy crap, my dad is on. Yep, that's your pop, Zach.
I love it.
He's concentrating on delivering his packages.
All right, here we go again. Who led the Bruins in touchdowns from scrimmage last season with 13? Kyle Phillips, Britton Brown, Zach Charbonnet, Kazmir Allen, or Steve Allen?
Britton Brown.
Zach Charbonnet.
Zach Charbonnet.
The answer was Charbonnet, and Rodney got it.
Rodney?
Yeah. Well, Tom, you did get it, but Rodney got it first.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
No worries.
No hate.
Yeah, and there's no reason to throw the challenge flag because he did get it first.
Oh, I don't do that.
All right. Okay. So here we are, the final question. Here's where we're at. Rodney has two, Tom has two, and Ronnie has one. It's anybody's game. So good luck to all. Who holds the school record for most free throws made in a single season with 202? Reggie Miller, Kevin Love, Bill Walton, Don McLean, or Don Martin?
Kevin Love.
Don McLean.
Reggie Miller.
I think Tom. It was Tom.
It was Tom, yes.
All right, Tom, you said Reggie Miller. Oh, my God, Tom won. Congratulations.
Why do you sound so surprised?
Thank you.
Tom,
I'm
I wouldn't take that. Why does Fred sound so surprised? Hey. Surprised you won, Tom?
Rodney, you're hard to beat.
I know.
Never lost.
Way to go, Tom.
All right, Tom. Well, you're in the Tournament of Champions. I'm not sure how we're going to do the seeding, but there could be a first-round matchup between you and your son.
Oh, I'll whoop him.
All right. Tom, thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, and we will be in touch.
Hey, pick up real quick, Fred.
What?
I just want to say I've been a big fan of you since you've been in L.A. since the late 70s. And
oh, no.
Rodney, I'm a big UCLA fan, but I respect the rivalry, and I respect you as a player, and you guys are great to listen to.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it, man.
Tom, we appreciate it. Hey, Have a great weekend.
Hey.
Why you like to cut people off, Fred? I don't understand. That's your M.O., cutting people off.
Was he talking?
Yes.
What'd he say?
We don't know. You cut him off.
I didn't know.
Exactly.
All right. And by the way, I was not here in the late 70s. I want that cleared up.
There you were.
No, I wasn't. The 80s.
Yeah, you were.
I got here in 80.
You got here in 1979.
No, I got here in 80.
No, 79. You just didn't know it yet.
Well put.